folks, it's Monday morning. We're Football Ireland, Jeff Ryan Bolt, Joe. Before we start off, our college football stuff is presented by the College Football Classic Aer Lingus in Dublin, Georgia Tech, FSU, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland for limited tickets. Come and join us this August. And we heard that it's Kansas State against
Iowa State.
Iowa State. I can't believe I forgot Mr. Irrelevant, Rock Purdy's college. But we can't wait to be there. Farmageddon. We'll see you all in this August and next August in the Aviva. You can tell I'm tired from the NFL draft, but delighted and appreciate the support from the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. Jeff, take it away, my man. How are you doing? You good?
I'm good, Michael, and it's awesome to have our post-draft show. And obviously, you had a big, big day down in Kerry, and Ireland had a big day because for the first time, we had Irish people making picks in the NFL draft.
Yeah, like I apologized in FaceTime and I'll apologize publicly. I was just too busy, man, the last couple of days. I really enjoyed our podcast, I think, on the Friday morning was excellent. I think actually being able to break it down and not going to the point of live reactions, I think made a massive difference. But more so, it was just very enjoyable. So thank you very much. I wish I could have done something on the Saturday as well. But as you said, if anyone isn't aware of the geographical thing of this island, like I've never been to Kerry in my life. It's that far away. So it was a bit of a busy weekend, but a very, very enjoyable weekend. And the weekend, Jeff, I don't think happens without people like yourself and the hard work that you've put in over the years in trying to grow the game in Europe. We've seen AFI clinics with the Jags, who had the Jags over. The Jets make a pick, and obviously the Steelers making a pick in Kerry. And it's just, it's been a great time. I'm conscious that there's people listening to this that are not in Ireland. For example, the Vikings were in Stonehenge. And I think one of the biggest things, Jeff, for me at the draft was watching the third day and seeing so many international fans make picks in Detroit. But there was a couple of the English boys. There was a Bears fan from England that was just giving the crowd complete grief.
He was on fire. But hey, think about that. He gets to fly all the way to Detroit to stand up in front of a 250,000 people and announce a punter.
I was drinking fizzy water. That's why there was a slight pause for everyone on the podcast. Good morning to everyone on the podcast, by the way. A punter. It's funny because all the memes or all the jokes about Paddy Clifford making the Steelers pick in Ireland was, yeah, of course he picked a guard because a guard in the Republic is a policeman or a policewoman. So like a guard. Of course, he picked a guard. So
imagine an English guy picking a punter. I mean, that's Rich. Rich, as a matter of fact, Rich Eisen went nuts when it happened. He laughed so hard. Hey, let's pick a couple winners, Michael. And I'm going to go with two teams. And I thought that Les Snead and Sean McVay and the entire Rams organization, who have not had a lot of chances to make draft picks lately. They've been basically a turn your back on the draft kind of team and build with free agents and, you know, acquisitions. Mm-hmm. They went out and I thought they had a great draft. Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State, big, strong guy, probably the biggest and strongest of those edge guys. I think he's going to help them immediately. And then the guy that I really liked in the draft, and I liked him more than anything else because of his motor, Braden Fisk from Florida State, who has just plays the game absolutely the way you want it played. He's going to go there and he's going to help him in the interior. He's not going to replace Aaron Donald, so you can forget about that because nobody's going to replace Aaron Donald, not one guy, but he's going to help that inside pass rush, and he certainly will be an impact player from day one. And then the guy I thought that they did a great job with, and I know he's a favorite of yours, Mike, he is Blake Corum, the running back from Michigan. May not be the biggest, may not be the fastest, but when you put the tape on, he's a really, really fine player. Got great elusiveness in the hole, really tough, can catch the ball. And I think Blake Corum's going to be a huge asset to that offense.
It's funny because we were joking with some of the college guys for our podcast before the draft. And for people wondering, General Jeff Ryan Bull Show returns Thursday morning with insert guests here, Jeff. Can't wait to see who you're going to have on, my man. It was funny because Connell was saying about how he really thought that Blake Corum was a lock to go to LA, to the Chargers. So whenever we seen him go to the Rams, it was quite funny. Just before I give a winner, I want to just give a very quick shout out because I know a friend of your podcast, Jeff, a guy that's done at least two people's draft picks, made a pick as well, Fraser for the Jets. I've seen some of the picks. I think he had a chance to meet Sauce Gardner as well. So I mean, like, that's a bit mad. I hope to do that from now on. I would love to make a draft pick and just rile people up. Like that's what I would love to happen next year. We'll
You
see.
know what? Here's what's amazing about the NFL. You know how we talk about the NFL being a copycat league, right? Every if you do one thing, all of a sudden, and it works, everybody else in the league is going to copy it. Everybody else is going to do that. You know, whether it's trying to find the next Pat Mahomes, or whether it's the RPO game or the 46 defense. It's a copycat league. But I want to make this. I'm going to throw this out there to the listeners. Are we not seeing so many international picks now because of the people's draft? I think the NFL has taken, I think they've taken our lead. You know, we had the third annual people's draft, was an undisputed success, great picks all around the world. We had you, Michael, you got two Spanish guys involved. This, who knows where we're going next year? But the NFL being a copycat business, they're trying to steal our thunder, Mike. I think we got to make them pay.
I'll come back to that. I enjoyed the people's draft this year. I want to give a shout out to Ollie. Ollie, I think, has just worked his butt off. He was gonna come on. He wanted to come on this podcast. I think he's exhausted. Also, I think he hasn't seen his wife in like 4 days, and I think that would be like the final straw. This is not really, a winner in terms of a team overall in terms of their general draft strategy, Jeff. But I went to the college game, the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin last year, and I seen Andre Gestime for Notre Dame, and for the Broncos to get him in the fifth round, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe he was still on the board in the fifth round. Have you had a chance to watch much of him over the last few years? And Sam Hartman goes to Washington as well.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame was well represented in the draft, obviously. And Joe Alt got most of the publicity pre-draft because of his, what he's, brought to the table, and at a 6'9" frame, and I think he's going to be a 10-year Pro Bowler. I really do, unless injuries get in his way. But Notre Dame's going to always have good players. I mean, you look at it, Michigan had 18 players go to the combine. Michigan had 15 players drafted. I mean, that's an unbelievable number. I think the Washington Huskies had 12 or 13 drafted. So the good teams, and this is ever more evident every year, that with the portal, with the transfer portal, it's the big profile schools where you're going to find the bulk of your NFL players. And obviously Notre Dame, I thought the linebacker that went to Dallas is a good player, and it got him right about where he would project out. And he's going to fill a need for him, because they're, Leighton Vander Esch's neck finally got the best of him. And so he's going to have to go in there and play, but I think he's going to be a good player.
I don't want to focus on one team and people think I'm going to be, going, oh yeah, of course he's going to say that. But when you look at the AFC North and you see how difficult it is for teams to come in each year and try and win it, when you've got guys like Joe Burrow, when you've got a Lamar Jackson, never mind the fact that Deshaun's now in the division, the Steelers go and get Justin Fields and Russell Wilson in free agency, and they had a really interesting draft. Like Troy Fantano in the first round is a guy that we talked about briefly on Friday morning, a guy that's really going to help them be more physical in the run game. We've seen the pick from Ireland, Mason McCormack is a guard that will help them in that sense. But Roman Wilson to come in is a guy that is really going to help the Steelers block the run. It's going to really give a really interesting option for the Steelers. Sorry, Jeff, especially in the passing game with whoever they have under center, whether that is Russell Wilson or whether that is Justin Fields and Zach Fraser coming in as well. They got a lot of OL men. They got a lot of beefy, protective talent, but they know themselves if they're going to try and develop a guy like Justin Fields, then they need to give him as best of a chance as possible. But they also know, Jeff, in the AFC North, the defenses are going to go at them, at them, at them, like any team would. But especially when it's Pittsburgh going up against Baltimore, going up against Cincinnati, for example. I like the moves. I like Peyton Wilson also. certainly think they've come out in the right end of this draft.
Well, I just say this, you know, Fontenot, I thought would go faster than he did, to be honest with you. I thought he was really, really a good player. And you talk about Peyton Wilson, and, you know, the only reason that Peyton Wilson lasted that long, Mike, is he's had some knee injury issues. There's talk that he may not even have an ACL in one of his knees. Now, that's, you know, that doesn't keep him from playing, because I played the last 5 years of my time with no ACL in my left knee. So, but it does, it can be problematic for him later in life, and it'll be something that they'll have to manage. You mentioned Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson grew up right here on Oahu. He's a Hawaii kid, went to St. Louis High School, the same school that produced Marcus Mariota and tons of NFL guys. He is tough. Do not undersell him as a weapon outside, because he is sneaky fast. He's got length. He's, like I said, tough as nails. And, you know, if you could say anything about the Steelers receiving core in the last couple of years, Michael, it'd be they got to play harder and they got to be more physical. And I think Roman Wilson brings both of those things to the Steelers. I like the Steelers draft.
I've got a few. I'm conscious that this is being pre-recorded because of our surprise, surprise, slight connection issues. Not that we ever have that, Jeff, on this podcast. I love this podcast, but we have some questions and we have some sort of points about from people. I ask people which team won the draft, who are you most disappointed by, and which pick from this draft intrigues you the most. I'll read out two and then I'll maybe let you respond, Jeff. Eric John Flynn, who going by Insta or Twitter, is from Cork. I really like what the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Steelers and Commanders did. I can't see how the Browns improved, and it's strange how the Jets keep adding or kept adding to their running back room. Some intriguing picks who went back to back: Will Shipley, Ray Davis, and Isaac Garendo. I can't pronounce Isaac's surname. And then Stefan, who's actually from Ireland as well, said anyone. He sort of said what I said. Anyone who got Audric Estime in the fifth round is hard to beat, so fair play to the Broncos. Stefan, surprise, surprise, Jeff, is a giant Fighting Irish fan, as you can imagine by that tweet. Do you agree on the Bengals and the Eagles? I mean, how you made some moves, man, especially day two, day three.
I thought the Eagles, I would have given the Eagles an A minus if I had to grade them as a teacher. I thought that they were really smart. Cooper DeJean's going to be a really good player. He had first round talent, Mike, and was ranked on the first round on most boards, but got pushed down when there was started that run on tackles and quarterbacks. So I think he's going to be a great player for them. And, you know, they went out and not only helped themselves immediately, they helped their depth in the secondary. So they took two DBs early, areas that they needed. And, you know, Howie just continues to build a good football team there. Now they got to coach them better and they got to get them playing harder together. But I certainly think that the Eagles, if you look at it right now, the Eagles are probably the odds-on favorite to win the East. I think the team that'll make the biggest strides in the East, and we can do this, you know, as we get into the offseason talks about each individual team. But I was impressed with what the Washington Commanders did.
Not to go back and not to rename this to a draft podcast, but I actually seen for the Fighting Irish, I seen that Sam Hartman got, I think, one of the highest bonuses for a guy that wasn't. He got nearly $300,000. The guy wasn't drafted that. Now, for people that are wondering why I keep blabbering on about this, that does not usually happen. Usually, you're getting the base of maybe, if you're lucky, around half of that. So it was really interesting for me. Andrew Butcher, who's from Chesterfield, Jeffrey. Surely the Steelers and the Bears, quote unquote, won the draft. Excellent work from both front offices. But he said negatively, not disappointed, but what on earth were the Dolphins doing? There seemed to be no strategy. Would you agree with that? I've seen a lot of stuff from our man Simon Clancy over the weekend about that.
I think to say there's no strategy is a little strong. You know, they took Chop with their first pick. Now, he's got to finish better than he did. You know, he's got all the measurables, Michael. Maybe the quickest first step of all of those edge guys, and he gets around the quarterback, but he doesn't sack him very many times. And the bottom line is, you got to get home, and you got to not only affect him, you got to get him on the ground. So he's going to have to learn how to finish better than he did in college. The rest of their draft to me was just okay. I'm not saying it was bad. I just thought it was okay. If you say the Bears won the draft, it's only because
the two picks,
of the first two picks at the start of the draft. And how can you screw up the first one, right? I mean, you don't have to do anything except just decide that that's the best quarterback in the draft. And that was decided a couple of years ago. So I'm not ready to let Ryan Poles off the hook, because in a very Bears-like move, when you have four draft picks, you use one of them on a punter, right? Now, I made my living as a special teams coach for a lot of years, but I'm going to tell you something. If you use a draft, when you have four and you use one of them on a punter, that one's a head scratcher to me. Now, the other thing I will say, I do like Odunze. I think he's the best, other than Harrison, he was the best receiver, the safest receiver pick in the draft, and I think he's really going to help them.
Just actually going quickly on that whole point of receivers, we have got some more questions, but I'll just put in Sam Monson reckons Troy Franklin, I think he's out of Oregon, Jeff. He went in the fourth round, 102nd overall. He believes that Troy Franklin is one of the best value picks of the draft for the Broncos. Have you had a chance in your sensational time difference in comparison to me and in comparison to where Oregon is in the world? Have you had a chance to see much of Troy Franklin? And would you agree with that estimation? Bo Nix coming in, there's a lot to learn for both those guys.
Well, I think the thing that, and I did watch Troy Franklin because Hawaii played Oregon last year. So, you know, Franklin is smooth. He has, again, now, as you can see the ability shine through on tape, right? He has the speed, he has the acceleration, he has the, you know, body control, the hand, you know, he's a hand catcher. The thing that's going to, he's going to have to grow is at Oregon, you play in a very, very, very different offense than you'll play in the NFL, right? I mean, They are a RPO-based team. And I think that's going to be the thing that Bo Nix is going to have to get, you know, he's going to have to come to grips with, because not that he can't drive the ball, not that he can't throw the ball deep, but you don't see a lot of those kind of throws on the Oregon tape, right? I think the thing people got to understand about Bo Nix, and, you know, if you go into Sean Payton's system and you do what Sean Payton asks you to do, and you read it the way he wants it read, and you distribute the football the way he wants it distributed, you will have success. If you fight him and you want to make it about you and you want to do things that you maybe are accustomed to doing outside the pocket that don't fit with his passing concepts, then you're going to lose that battle. And the guy, last guy that tested him is now on another team for that very reason.
I love it, Jeff. And the whole punting situation, I have to talk about it just a little bit about in terms of where it's going to be picked. I fully agree with you in terms of the Bears' strategy there. We were talking about Andre Butcher, and he actually just added at the end he was quietly pleased with the Bills' efforts so far, and that was an hour ago. So I'm happy. I think he's happy enough at this point. I mean, that was a team, Jeff, for people that are wondering, it literally traded out of the first round. A team that at the time that we last spoke didn't have any picks or didn't have any selections made. Jamie from Bengals UK, the Raiders won it for me. Evidently, Atlanta have questions to answer, but I think Penix is a load of fun. Have you changed your mind on this whole Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix situation since?
No, not at all. Like I said to you before, Penix was my fourth rated quarterback, right? But he wasn't the eighth player to come off the board, in my opinion, unless you were desperate for a quarterback, right? They're not desperate for a quarterback. And if this is an ascension, succession plan, I get it. I think this is going to be a pick that will be either one we'll talk about for a long time as a bad, bad, bad one, right? Or it'll be one where, let's say that Cousins can't come back off of that Achilles tendon tear very well, and he's ineffective early in the, and well, now they've got a guy that they could turn to. It's also an admission, and nobody's talked about this. It's also an admission that you have really not done very good in your quarterback acquisitions. Ridder, abject failure. That's what this is telling every that's a Falcons fan. Ridder, abject failure. Taylor Heinicke, abject failure. And those are guys that you went out and got to try and turn your franchise. So credit to the Falcons, if that's the case, that they turned the page and went on, as opposed to most NFL clubs won't do that. They're gonna keep hoping and keep hoping and keep hoping. But it is a little bit of a head scratcher. This is one again, Michael. 2 years from now, we'll make a call on it.
And hopefully we're still doing podcasts in 2 years to talk about it, man. I know. Actually, I have to give a shout out to Mark Hogan because we had a very definitive discussion about this in Kerry yesterday. It's mad. I think it's going to be the next 3 months of discussion. It was just such a head scratcher. I seen a video of Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes eating dinner, literally arguing what the hell is going on. So, I just to be a fly in Kirk Cousins' house. I'll just leave it at that point and say no more. We've 3 or 4 minutes left. I've got a question here or a point here from Connor, who I believe is in Cambridge. He said, I don't know if disappointed is a word, but Atlanta, so he agrees. But he did say Cooper DeJean is definitely one that I am intrigued to see in a Vic Fangio defense. A guy that went a little bit later, Jeff, but a guy that the Eagles are going to be very, very happy to have.
Oh, no question. Any one of 32 teams would have loved to have Cooper DeJean.
Are you surprised at how far he went?
A little bit. But, you know, Mike, it's just where it's tough. I'll be honest with you. Where it's tough for Cooper DeJean, right, he doesn't fit the mold, okay? Mm. And if you don't fit the mold, here's what happens, okay, just so you understand. You take a guy that doesn't fit the mold for whatever reason, right, and he fails –
yeah,
you're going to get ripped to shreds because you didn't stay with the quote the way it's done, right? Now, if he has success, everybody will congratulate you, right? So some teams may have shied away from him because they didn't know what they were going to do with him, right? And I agree with our fan who sent the email. You know, Vic Fangio will create a role for that kid. And he is a great athlete. And on top of it, you know, here's a kid that's going to help them in the return game. And that's an area that they, you know, you always want to have, if you can, a defensive guy as your returner, because, you know, you don't want your, you know, you don't want to take a receiver spot to carry a returner unless he's a dynamic, dynamic guy.
Just before we finish off, Jeff, we now enter the post-draft situation. The next big thing that we have really to look forward to, outside, of course, of the Jeff Ryan Bull Show, Pro Football Ireland, and everything else, is a schedule release. And I guess for you now, what's the one thing that you want to see over the next few weeks? Is there anything that you'd like to see in terms of what could happen? Is there any unrestricted free agents that you're looking at and thinking, you know, God, I'd like to see them go somewhere? And just while I say that, I need to remember this Travis Clayton, Jeff, goes to the Buffalo Bills, an English offensive lineman, a guy that only started playing American football in 2019. Actually woke up this morning and seen the news. And you know when you've got the Irish IPP lads texting you, telling you how highly they think of him, Jeff, not just as a player, but as a man. I think that says a lot. And Buffalo clearly seen that. For a guy that's English to follow in the footsteps of Jordan Mailata, for example, and get drafted. How surreal do you think that is?
Well, I think, first of all, once it happens, what did we just say earlier in the podcast? It's a copycat league, right? And so now Mailata broke the glass ceiling, right? He broke through the glass ceiling. He was the first drafted guy that had never played the game, right? And so if you think about it, And think about it this way. It's risk versus reward at the bottom of the draft. So you could take another offensive lineman who played college football, and he might have been a good college football player, but he doesn't have the ceiling that Clayton has. All right? So he'll never be what Clayton may become. But you're talking about a low-risk entry. right? I think he was a seventh round pick, if I'm correct, right? Michael,
he was, yeah.
Those are not high risk positions, right? He's a developmental player who has all the physical characteristics that you want. He's got long arms. He's got great bend. He's been in a collision sport, right? The game, when he walks out there the first time and somebody comes across the line of scrimmage and whacks him, it's not going to be the first time he's been hit, right? That's one of the problems with taking basketball players and guys that don't play collision sports. So he's prepared that way. Now, does he need to get stronger? Obviously, you look at his body, right? But he is long. He is athletic. I watched him go through some individual drills, and he looks the part. He's got a long way to go, but so did Jordan Mailata. And Jordan Mailata, this offseason, signed his third NFL contract. And that puts you into rarefied air. He can take care of his kids, and their kids with this contract.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. Congrats to him. I know not just him, but the IPP guys. I think we should definitely get James Cook on to talk to us, Jeff, I think at some point, just to talk through the whole process. Who are we bringing on this week to talk to? Are you going to keep it a secret right now? Or
I'm keeping it a secret. I think what we ought to do now, Mike, as we go forward, is start to pay attention to the divisions and the individual teams and what they've done in the offseason and where we project before training camp these teams are going to end up, because I think it's going to be – we may have a couple of those worst to first stories this year.
I agree. And I will say this just before we hit the stop record button. If you can persuade your man, Bucky Brooks, to come on here 3 or 4 days after a draft, I'll be very surprised. Let's record Wednesday. Let's put it out Thursday, Jeff. But I agree. I think we go minimum once per week from now to September. And we've got those 32 teams. We've got 32 episodes. Let's do it.
That's it right there, baby. That's it. And this has been Jeff Reinbold. I am going to say
Jeff has been holding his phone for the last 22 minutes.
My hands are cramping, but I'm fighting through it for the show, Mike, for the show.
Jeff, Gourmet Morgan, thank you very much. To everyone who listens, thanks for your support over an incredible draft weekend, Jeff. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, man.